Certainly an interesting week as far as Big Blue is concerned as they get set to take on the Raiders out in Oakland on Sunday. And let's welcome aboard Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, covers Big Blue. Good morning, Pat. How are you, bud?
Very well, Moose. Good to talk to you again. I feel like you and I have been breaking down this Eli Manning fiasco together all week,
basically. Yeah, no question. SNY now here on WFAN. I mean, it's been a huge topic of conversation, and rightfully so. And, you know, I guess, Pat, the floor is yours in terms of, you know, you've been covering this team for a little bit, and certainly Eli as a figure and a sports figure and a legend in this town. How about how this week unfolded, you know, and put a, you know, kind of encapsulate what this week has meant or what you have seen and witnessed this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started off negatively, not even having to do with Eli Manning. Like, I was walking or driving to the Giants facility on Tuesday planning to talk to Eli Apple because of the Saturday report. It was pretty nasty, you know, kind of like sources inside the building basically saying that, you know, he had walked out of that meeting and basically thrown a fit, threatened to leave the facility. And so, you know, it was kind of an underhanded move by somebody maybe kind of feeding rumors that Apple was one of the anonymous sources. So it was just more of the same ugliness. But who would have thought that it wouldn't be more of the same ugliness? It would have been a 3 o'clock hour announcement that, and it didn't even say Eli Manning is benched. The title of the email was Geno Smith to start at QB for Giants. And it was kind of a double take, a triple take. And from there, it just all unfolded where Ben McAdoo and John Mara and Eli Manning all kind of dropped nuggets along the way for us to figure out that the Giants as an organization couldn't have botched this worse as far as moving on from Eli Manning eventually. Like, we've talked about, like, his skills have diminished, he hasn't played great this season, etc. And I've called for, in the past, putting Davis Webb on the sidelines, having him available to play. But the Giants somehow forgot that Eli Manning was different than just any other player. They somehow forgot who he was, how proud he is, and how they should handle it. And they treated him like yesterday's news. And so everyone's reaction, from Manning's to the fans to former players to everybody in the NFL community, is justified because the organization, just as they have over the course of the last couple of years, just did something terribly wrong.
Yeah, and how much do you think it has to do with the fact that Geno's starting and not Davis Webb?
I mean, I think that there's some of that from fans. You know, I don't think that's as bad. What I think's bad about Geno starting is not that Geno is starting himself. Like, I'm glad he's getting a shot to prove himself, even if it's only for one game to get Webb ready. But what makes me frustrated about Geno starting, and I think what fans should be frustrated about, is that Davis Webb isn't ready, and that seems to be part of the reason why Geno is taking the ball at the start of the game. Like, I think Geno deserves a shot, especially with 5 games left to prove himself. I think Giants fans need to give him a chance on Sunday. But I honestly think that this is all about, eventually, Davis Webb, and it would be about him this weekend, except McAdoo didn't have him ready. Like, John Mara basically said, I need to see him play in a game, but we have only seen him play scout team reps. So they can't even really dress him for this coming Sunday's game, or it doesn't look like they're going to, because he's not ready. So, I think the outrage is, you know, if it was going to Webb, you know, I think it was more the nature, too, of whether it's Webb or Geno, just how kind of abruptly and suddenly and kind of callously they did it, instead of making it kind of a smooth transition where it would have been natural in those Rams and Niners games to bring other quarterbacks in at halftime or in the third quarter and kind of put Eli on the sidelines and say, listen, this is out of hand. Watch the rest of this. We get some homework done. But now this was just like come in on a Monday morning, and guess what, Eli? Thanks for the 2 Super Bowls, but your time's up. And John Mara made clear that even though he was on board with the plan, he did not envision Ben McAdoo delivering the news the way he did, which was basically saying, guess what, Eli? You're going to start these games, but it's basically just to keep your streak alive, and then we're going to take you out. So there were mistakes made all through the process.
Yeah, it really was. And I you wrote about it, Pat. Do you think the idea of the Giant way is a thing of the past?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it was just a weird situation where the Giants have had that, you know, that reputation for always doing things the right way and the giant way and kind of, you know, hey, you know, we're not like other organizations. We stand on principle and we do what's right. But in this situation, even though I didn't agree with everything Eli Manning did in this situation, I understand why he did it. And in the end, he looked like the classy kind of embodiment of that giant way, and the Giants looked like just anybody else. And so, you know, that's what made me wonder about and write about kind of, you know, how much of what we know as the giant way really is Eli, because he's been the face of the franchise for so long now, these 14 years or 13 plus, that, you know, it's almost maybe people forgot that so much of what everyone knows as the giant way, what everyone respects about the organization, is the fact that this guy gets up there every day as the face of the franchise and has just conducted himself so admirably, especially in the context of today's media landscape and everything, where it is really difficult to stay as clean and as polished and as respected as Eli Manning has.
You know, Pat, you mentioned you would not have, you didn't think Eli handled everything properly. What do you mean by that?
You know, I kind of wrote about this for tomorrow's paper too, in that, you know, in hindsight, one thing that kind of struck me as a bit odd, but it kind of got lost even by me at first when John Mara talked to us, was that John Mara said that when Eli Manning slept on the decision or on what McAdoo had told him, he came back on Tuesday morning and he told him, A, listen, if you're going to bench me, bench me. I don't want to play if you're just playing me just because of that. But the second thing is Eli Manning told the organization to issue the statement. He said, you know, if you're gonna bench me, I want you out in front and accountable on it, and you put your money where your mouth is. And it's not that I totally understand his sentiment there, and I agree with his being frustrated, but I couldn't help think of how he came into the league, which was by demanding a trade, saying that he wouldn't play for San Diego, saying that if San Diego drafts me number one, you know, I don't want to play there. I want to play for New York. And so he facilitated the trade to the Giants. And, you know, I don't know if I'm even, you know, condemning Eli as much as just saying it's kind of awkward or unusual the way his two-time Super Bowl winning career is bookended by these two decisions in which he is dictating how and when he will play. You know, like, I think even though I side on Eli with Eli against the Giants and how this was handled, you have to admit, and I think some players would admit, it is unusual for a player, given the opportunity to continue playing, would decline that chance. But as you know, I'm fully on board, and I fully believe that Manning had every right to be frustrated and offended and hurt and pained by this, and his tearful expression at the locker said it all. But, you know, I just think that, you know, there's something to be said for he's had a really good career, and, you know, being the good employee wouldn't be terribly difficult or might be the right thing to do. But it's easy for me to say too, I mean, in his shoes, what he went through and kind of how blindsided he was. Again, I do understand it, but I think it deserves to be pointed out, I guess.
We're talking to Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, covers the Giants. Pat, do you think Eli's started his last game as a Giant?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I want to get something together on this for maybe next week, just about every scenario to me points to him going somewhere else. So if it's about the Giants want to bring him back, I would think they would want to bring him back at a much cheaper price, given how he's been playing, than the $22 million he would be due to cost him against the cap, et cetera. So would he be willing to renegotiate? I don't know about that. You know, will Eli Manning want to come back and play for a team and play for a coach who, you know, with basically no credentials to his NFL resume as a head coach, sits him down and benches him and disrespects him, basically? I doubt Eli Manning would want to do that, even if the classy guy he is, and even the guy, you know, who's running the scout team right now, I don't think he would want to do that. If you bring in a new coach, if you fire Ben McAdoo and you fire Jerry Reese and you bring in a new coach and a GM, aren't they going to want to either draft their new quarterback or go with the young Davis Webb, go with their guy. You know, you would think they wouldn't want to be saddled with a veteran quarterback and any kind of baggage or contract and cap hit that goes along with that. So to me, Eli Manning believes he still has football to play, that he can still start. There are plenty of teams out there, good teams, as you and I know, that, you know, like the Jaguars or the Cardinals or the Broncos, that all feel that they might be a quarterback away from turning things around or from getting over that hump. So I just think there's too many factors that point to him ending his Giants career after this season.
Do you think Reese and McAdoo will be out after the season?
Yes, and I can say that definitively, not as far as like a reporting he's going to get fired, but what I mean by that is standing talking to John Mara the other day, John Mara, his reaction when he was asked what he thought of the job that Ben McAdoo has done, to me, said it all. You know, like people have said, oh, the only reason you fire Ben McAdoo at this point is if you can't even look at him anymore. That is how John Mara's emotions came off to me. You know, he said, we're 2-9. You know, I'm embarrassed. I don't think anybody's done a good job. You know, and I just think Jerry Reese is going to get fired just because I think Mara gave him, you know, basically 9 lives with that second chance when he let Coughlin go and kept Jerry. And, you know, the team has spiraled right back into disaster mode after, you know, 2 years later, after Jerry patched it up with 3 big defensive signings the year before. So it seems like McAdoo's out from how Mara just even was talking about him. And I just think Reese has run out of chances.
You know, the interesting thing with Mara here is that, and he said, you know, handled it differently, wish he was there. I mean, you are the Giants co-owner. You know, in order to handle everything properly and being in the building at that time, and I know he had responsibilities and meetings that day, you know, you would imagine with what Eli meant to this organization that you would make sure that you're in that building.
That's a great point, Moose. And, the other thing is they had a bye in week 8. Their season was already over, basically. Why in week 8 did they not set in motion? Just get Webb into a uniform for some of these games. It's not like they couldn't afford to have 3 quarterbacks active or whatever, the way they were playing, the way the season was going. They could have done it. McAdoo didn't do it, and Mara could have ordered it and didn't order it. So they arrived at this point where it was like, oh, no, we only have 5 games left. We need to see these guys. Eli, do you mind sitting out for the second half? So it was just, it really felt like a kind of a shotgun decision. Even if they had been talking about it, like you said, how did they get the timing on this so wrong to botch it so poorly?
Pat, what about that room in Geno here? I know Mara said, you know, Geno's got an opportunity here, future, maybe starter next year. I mean, what have you, but... Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a real tangible opportunity for Geno Smith?
You know, that's a hard question as far as the Giants are concerned for me. Here's what I'll say. The information I have on Geno Smith, just from talking to him a lot this season and covering the team on a daily basis and talking to his teammates, is that he signed with the Giants to get himself back on track and to, you know, to basically to rebuild not only his game but his reputation and to get healthy in a franchise that's known for stability, that he wanted to get stable and he wanted to be able to find a way to learn from a guy like Eli Manning. And then if he had a chance to show teams what he was capable of, to do it. I don't think he ever thought it would come to this, but I think the Giants at the very least are giving him the chance to play in a real game against a real NFL team in a regular season game and prove to all 32 teams, not just the Giants, that he can do it. Because they don't, you know, if they're firing McAdoo and Reese, like I'm saying they are, then more new people will be in here, and then it's hard to say whatever those guys, that GM would decide. But I do believe that right now the Giants, given how well Geno has conducted himself in the building, he's been a good teammate, he's been a good guy in there, the guys really love him and pull for him. I do believe that Mara is genuine when he says right now they're looking at him as a potential guy to bring back in here. But I think you said it the other day too, and I agree with it. You know, if you were going to bring Geno back, maybe you're bringing him back because he's affordable and he's a guy who can start games while you groom another kid you draft in the first round. You have Davis Webb in the building too, so the way he's conducted himself, who knows, it's an option. But who would have thought that would be the case? 8 months ago.
Yeah, no question. You never would have thought it, that it would play out this and as sloppily as it was handled this week. And I'm not saying that Eli has played particularly well this year or that no man could ever be benched. It's just the style and fashion in which the Giants did it, Pat, was really kind of startling.
No, it absolutely was. I mean, I really think, too, because Matt, you've heard Manning say it. Manning has said that, like, when seasons get to 2-9, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but that he understands that the types of decisions have to be made where we need to take a look at younger players. I don't think Manning is surprised that the Giants want to take a look at Davis Webb and that younger players. What he was surprised by and blindsided by and hurt by was how they basically hit him over the head with a mallet and said, your career here as our starter is essentially over, and the only reason we're going to start you is to keep your streak alive. And it took, Moose, it took Eli Manning to say to them that would tarnish the streak.
Which he's right.
But for them to even think of that or to understand that, or for John Mara to say, you know what, you're right. And just the fact that it took Manning saying that to them in that Tuesday morning when he woke up and slept on it and thought, how could this be happening? He calls them back. He goes into the office. He tells them that. He tells Mara that on Wednesday morning. And Mara says, yeah, I guess you're right. We could have handled it differently. It is so mind-boggling that it took Eli Manning to tell them that. But that goes back to the point we discussed earlier. What is the Giant way? And what is the Giant way without Eli Manning? Because if he's so much of it, then what's left? What's left is John Mara trying to do the right thing, but failing in this case and in other cases, and really needing to get the whole organization back on track.
And Pat, we'll close it out here. What do you expect Sunday in Oakland?
Well, I'll tell you what. There'll be a huge uproar if the Giants, who haven't scored 30 points under Ben McAdoo as head coach, if Geno throws up 31 up there on the board. But no, listen, the reality is, I expect them to run the ball. I expect Orleans Darkwa to get a lot of touches, Wayne Gallman to get a lot of touches. And I think Geno is going to be conservative within the game plan, but I think he's really going to try to show his stuff. You know, he's got a strong arm. As always, he needs to make the right decisions. That's been what's gotten him in trouble in the past. I don't think it's impossible that they can win because the Raiders' defense is not very good, particularly their pass defense. I think Evan Engram, the tight end, is motivated after those three drops in Washington to bounce back in a big way. It would not surprise me if the Giants won, considering that the Raiders are reeling. At the same time, it's going cross country with a guy who hasn't started a regular season game since the middle of last year. And so what I expect, a lot of mistakes by both teams and someone making a big play at the end. But to me, if the Giants are playing the Raiders, given how their season's gone, as long as there's no brawl on the field, they probably come out of it okay.
Do you think that room cares that Eli's the way the Giants handled Eli?
You know, my feeling is some of the guys did, some of the guys didn't care enough, and that was kind of what upset me early. Like, Jason Pierre-Paul's reaction was really weird. Like, the day it was happening, he was being very irreverent, classless, yucking it up with guys as Manning's, like, crying in his locker. And then the next day, JPP is very mellow and really is giving off the vibe that he's not exactly thrilled with it. So it's really hard to understand. But guys like Justin Pugh, all the veterans, all the guys who have been there, they definitely sense how strange it is. And it hurts them to see Eli that way, too. But it's very unusual, this team right now, Moose. They are so young in so many areas. And there are so many guys on the team who are really clawing for NFL jobs and careers, that sometimes, in a lot of circles of the locker room, there's guys just trying to make it to next week and to stay on a roster or to, get through as undrafted rookies and prove themselves and be back on the team next year to prove, like even Geno Smith, he cares that Eli Manning is hurt, but he now has the biggest opportunity he's had in his career to date to resurrect it. So he has to focus on himself even though Eli is in his predicament. So it's a strange mix, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, covers the Giants. Pat, it's been certainly a historical week in the terms of the Giants, and it'll be interesting game Sunday out in Oakland against the Raiders. Pat, appreciate a couple minutes this morning, bud.
Thanks, Moose. Thanks.
You got it. Always does a fantastic job.